Good morning, everyone.
Morning, Dad.
Particularly the people in the lobby, they'll be joining us shortly. And may the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We stand and say together this opening collect. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. We read in Scripture, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And again, from Psalm 95. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. And we're about to sing. As we remain standing, we say these words as a statement of what we believe. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the quick and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our loving God commands us to love like him. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us and write your law in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. And we confess that we have failed to live up to God's standards. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we acknowledge our many sins, which we have committed by thought, word and deed, against your divine majesty, provoking most justly your wrath and indignation against us. We earnestly repent, and are truly sorry for our sins. The remembrance of them grieves us, the burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that from now on we serve and please you in newness of life, to the honour and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who turn to him with true faith and repentance, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You that truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and harmony with your neighbours and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from now on in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to comfort you. To all that truly turn to him, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." The Apostle Paul said, "This is a true saying and worthy of all people to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." The Apostle John said, "If any person sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation or perfect offering for our sins." Because of that, we can have peace with God, and we're able to say, "We are the body of Christ.
His Spirit is with us.
The peace of the Lord be always with you."
And also with you.
And you might want to share that peace with each other.
Indeed, sir.
And so we continue our service. In the light of what we've heard about the peace we can have with God, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right to do so.
It is very good, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we praise and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy,
holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory be to you, O Lord Most High. Pray with me this prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your many and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, in your tender mercy, you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death on the cross for our redemption. He made there a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and he instituted and commands us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. Hear us, merciful Father, and grant that we, receiving this bread and wine, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. For on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Amen. All who love Jesus may join us at the Lord's table. The small cups contain both grape juice and wine. The bread is all gluten-free, and you may stand or kneel to receive Holy Communion, and we encourage families to come together.
Let us pray. Father, we who believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and have received these pledges of his love, thank you, because you graciously feed us with the spiritual food of his body and blood. By this you assure us of your love and forgiveness, and that we and all your faithful people are true members of his body and of each other in him. Remember your church, which you have purchased by his blood, and gather it in holiness into the kingdom you have prepared for it. Make us faithful witnesses of the Lord Jesus and his resurrection, that at his coming we may go out with great joy to meet him and be found worthy to worship you with all your saints forever. Amen.
The collect for the 17th Ordinary Sunday. Let us pray for the peace of knowing God. Almighty God, you have made us for yourselves, and our hearts are restless till they find the rest in you. Teach us to offer ourselves to your service, that here we may have your peace, and in the world to come may see you face to face, through Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God of beauty and bounty, you hung the stars in the heavens and the oceans, and in the ocean's depths your handiwork is found. Hear our prayers for the preservation of your earth. We pray for places where waters are polluted and land despoiled, for creatures who are hunted or whose habitats are destroyed. Teach us to cherish the wonders of creation, to share more justly the riches you provide. Bountiful God, for all your good gifts to us, we give you thanks and praise. You turned sea into dry land and delivered your people from bondage and danger. Hear our prayers for peoples of the world. We pray for those who still bound in slavery, those who suffer oppression, for those whose lands are invaded, for the dispossessed and the refugee. Teach us to live in harmony so that all your people may enjoy dignity and freedom. Bountiful God, for all your gifts, good gifts, to us, we give you thanks and praise. You offer salvation to all your people, and you call us into the company of all believers. Hear our prayers for ministry and missions of your church. We pray for all who are leaders in your church, for pastors and teachers. We pray especially for our Archbishop Kanishka, for our Bishop Chris, and especially for our Minister Eric as he leads your flock here in Greenwich. Teach us to entrust our lives to you to proclaim to others the good news of your grace. Bountiful God, for all your good gifts to us, we give you thanks and praise. You have given us the joy of human friendship and shown to us the way of your love. Hear our prayers for this community and all with whom our lives are bound. We pray for those who are strangers or outsiders, the neglected and the abused. We also pray for ourselves and others and all whom we love. Teach us to be a welcoming community so that all may find here a place of acceptance. Bountiful God, for all your good gifts to us, we give you thanks and praise. You desire wholeness for all your people, and you have mercy when we ask for healing. Hear our prayers for those who suffer, for all in trouble, and for those in need. We pray for all whom we marginalise, for AIDS sufferers, for the elderly, for the mentally ill, for the sick and dying, and for all who are in pain. We especially pray for those from our parish that we know: Vernon Island, Graham Lowther, Rowan Allen, Felicity Purdy, Fleur Fowler, Margaret Roberts, Murray Holmes, and especially for Duncan Lumpton. Give him strength as he undergoes treatment, and that new treatments will be developed to help stop or slow the progression of his illness. Pray for all his family and loved ones as they support him. Teach us to care for one another and to bring to others your compassion and comfort. Bountiful God, for all your good gifts to us, we give you thanks and praise. You raise your Son from death to life, and through him you offer us eternal life. Hear our prayers for all who have died in your love. We remember those who have been your witnesses in every generation, those who have been faithful members of this parish. Teach us to follow in faith the example of your Son, so that our lives may be acceptable in your eyes, and at death raise us up to share with him in everlasting life. God of beauty and bounty, for all your good gifts to us, we give you thanks and praise. Please join with me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Song.
Spot. Spot first. There we go. Spot's woof, here. Woof. First of all, thanks for all your prayers and concerns while we're away on holidays. It's good to go and see your earthly family, wherever they are, but it's also great to be able to be back with the spiritual family and to pray the family prayer together to our Father in heaven and to hear about being God's family today, which is what's going to happen. And I thought, Leslie, come up here. I need to talk to you. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Now, tell us how you got to be part of this congregation.
Just
a quick word.
Okay, well, I sort of turned up out of the blue, didn't I? And all of a sudden I had my finger in every pie and was doing a bit of everything. Quick story, been in the church since I was 4 through nearly every denomination there is, which has been a wonderful journey. However, the thing that actually brought me down here was 18 months ago, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. It was melanoma, and I was only given a matter of months to live. So some of the treatments only offered 10 to 20% success rate. The Melanoma Institute offered 50% success rate. I thought, well, they're better odds. So I was up and down from the Blue Mountains down here every month for immunotherapy and thought, I think I will actually move down closer to the hospital because it was a two-year trial. So I moved to Lane Cove North, and I had only been there a month, and my professor said, Leslie, all of your tumours have disappeared and we can stop the treatment. Praise God for that. So Eric and I have known each other for 10 years. My daughter was married in this church, and he also baptised her two children. So we have had numerous theological discussions over the years, and when I came, God said, go and serve Eric's church. So I came and said, Eric, I'm here to serve in whatever way you need me to serve. I don't care what it is, I've done everything. I am here to serve you and your church, and that's what brought me here.
Which brings us to, this is not your first rodeo preaching. So God has given you some gifts, and we like to allow people to use their gifts if they feel they've got them, and we'll give everyone at least one chance.
Yeah.
We'll pray for you. Thanks. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege it is to see you bring your people together to worship you and to encourage each other in their faith. We just pray for Leslie as she brings your truth to us, that you will speak through her and strengthen and encourage her to strengthen and encourage us as your family. Thank you for this opportunity to be your people in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We'll come back later. Now we can see. Oh, before that,
we will sing.
Is it already started?
No.
No? Yeah, just hang on. One of the other reasons why we got Leslie on, one was because I didn't want to have to prepare a sermon while I was away, so that's a good thing to have. Thank you for that. But the other was, you might remember, we did get an email about the 100th anniversary of a synod ordinance that allowed women to preach, and that we were encouraged to allow a woman to preach this month. And we've had several. I think we're having another one. Jordan from Open Doors will be preaching in the last Sunday this month. So we're getting more than our quota in. But that's another reason why we've asked Leslie to be speaking today. Now we can sing.
The first epistle of John, chapter 3, beginning at the first verse.
John begins his discourse in the previous verse saying, "If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who does right has been born of him. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. Everyone who commits sin is a child of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born of God do not sin, because God's seed abides in them. They cannot sin, because they have been born of God. The children of God and the children of the devil are revealed in this way. All who do not do what is right are not from God, nor are those who love their brothers and sisters. For this message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who was from the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be astonished, brothers and sisters, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. Whoever does not love abides in death. All who hate a brother or sister are murderers, and you know that murderers do not have eternal life abiding in them. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obeyed his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everybody. I better make this good because this might be my only chance, mightn't it? All right. Thank you, Eric, very much for the privilege of being able to speak to you. And I must say it is an incredible privilege and a great responsibility to speak on behalf of God and to speak his word in truth so that we might all understand. Let's pray before we start. Father God, we have come into your presence this morning. First, to acknowledge that you are the Almighty God and there is no other like you.
We praise your magnificent name. Father, we have come here to learn of you. We don't want to know man's wisdom, but we want to know your wisdom, O God. So, Holy Spirit, do what you do best amongst us. Teach us, comfort, console, and challenge us this morning as we come into your presence. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, this is a letter packed full of all sorts of things. And I've tried to keep it fairly short, but it is difficult. And anyone that knows me knows how much I love God, and I could talk about him for hours and hours. So I have asked people to be my timekeepers so you don't all fall asleep and fall out the window like some people did in the New Testament. Okay, when I'm studying or looking at a passage or a book, I like to know who wrote it for a start, why they wrote it, and who they wrote it to. So first of all, we know this is a letter from the Apostle John. We know a lot about John because we've read a lot in his Gospel. We know that he so much knew the love of God. Here was a man who started out his journey being called a son of thunder. Not a terribly gentle man at that stage, I wouldn't imagine, but strong and committed, but man that was, you know, full of gumption and full of life. And when he's written this letter, he's a very elderly man. He had spent many, many years in the presence of God, knowing Jesus, and here he is writing this letter to his church at Ephesus. He had moved to Ephesus, and he was looking after Jesus' mother, Mary. I often wondered, you know, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, why it was that he asked John to look after his mother. Why did he specifically ask John? Where were Jesus' brothers? They should have looked after their mother, shouldn't they? But maybe this is the sort of person that Jesus was talking to about when he said, "You will have a friend that is closer than a brother." There was John who went to the cross and stood at the bottom of the cross with Jesus. This was the John who at the Last Supper had leant up on Jesus' chest. That's how close he was to Jesus. He actually called himself the beloved disciple. This was a disciple who just was so close to Jesus. And over the years he would have become closer and closer and closer as he learned more of him. And what an amazing man. Imagine being John and God choosing to share with you the story of Revelation, the revealing of Jesus. I mean, God doesn't do that to everybody. Can you imagine? There he is on the Isle of Patmos and God says, "I'm going to reveal you to you all about what is coming up, and I'm going to reveal to you Jesus in the future." Man, this is an awesome man to learn from. By this stage, he was a loving, loving father of the church. And in this letter, we can almost see that he's grandfatherly because he speaks to them as little children. Now, these were all grown people, but he loved them so dearly. "Little children," he said, "let me tell you this." And I would imagine he knew that his time was probably becoming fairly short. He'd grown to become an old man, not like the other disciples who were nearly all killed, crucified for different reasons. If you were leaving your children, you would want to leave them with really specific, loving thoughts, wouldn't you? You would want to finalise and say, "Okay, this is what I've learned. This is what I've got for you guys. Just listen up." So he's talking to his own church. And I thank God that we've got his letter as well so we can learn from it too. Now, why was he writing this letter to them? He was writing to give them an assurance, first of all, an assurance of who they were. Now, he starts off in this chapter by saying,
you are children of God. And one version says that God has lavished so much love upon us. Now, lavishing love on someone is really over the top, is it not? God has lavished his love on us so that we might be called his children. To be honest, that absolutely blows my mind. To think that the God who created the whole universe calls me his child. I can call him Father. I don't take that lightly. The God of the universe is our Father. The God who created all things is our Father. And it says that the Holy Spirit will give us confirmation of that. You know, sometimes I have not doubted that he was my Father, but I've lost something in here. You know, sometimes I would see him as God far off. And I would have to say, oh, Holy Spirit, remind me again. Bring me back to that place of being a child, of really knowing that God is my Father so that I can sit at his feet and worship him. It also says that the Holy Spirit will show that he is Abba Father. Abba was a word that means something like daddy. I mean, have we ever called God daddy? Something we might find hard to do, daddy. You know, when we've just seen the death of Queen Elizabeth, and we've seen all the pomp and ceremony, but one of the things that struck me, and often strikes me, is that her son, who is now king, would often call her mummy. And he called her mummy to the whole public, to the whole world. Mummy, such an endearing term to his mother, mummy. Can we call Father God daddy? Or whatever our term of endearment is to a father. You know, sometimes when I pray, I hardly use any words at all. I will just say, oh, Dad. Oh, Dad. And that relays to him all of my feelings, all of my thoughts, all of my fears, all of my worries just come out in that expression of, oh, Dad. No other words are needed. Oh, Dad. Don't have words for this today, Dad. But you know what I'm thinking. He knows our very hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows everything about us. Now, I've heard some people say that we are all children of God. You have to query that, don't you? That everybody in the world is a child of God. We're all creations of God. We're all his creatures. But John goes on to tell us in this letter, we are not all children of God. That some are children of the devil. We've heard it said, you know, you're a liar, just like your father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. I looked very carefully at the royal family, how they acted and behaved and what they did, as we all did. The whole world looked on, didn't they, at Queen Elizabeth's funeral. And the children were very much the focus of attention, weren't they? They were very much the focus of attention. Yes, we were there to grieve the Queen. But what were all of the headlines about? How the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren behaved? We looked at how they behaved towards each other. We looked at their histories. We looked at how they behaved in their grief towards their mother. And we saw examples there of children who had said, yes, Mum or Dad, I'm going to follow and I'm going to be part of the royal line and I'm going to live a life
that is worthy of you, worthy of my calling as a child of the king or queen. And I've committed to serving you and serving in the position that I am called to. And yet on the other hand, we see some that said, no, I don't want this. I don't want you to tell me what to do. I want to break away from this and go and live somewhere else. And so we've got two differing groups of people, both children of the queen, but doing, or king, and both acting very, very differently. And so the world is looking on at us. We would rather that they didn't sometimes, to be absolutely honest. But they are looking on at us because we are children of the king. We are royalty. We are called a royal priesthood. We are princes and princesses. We are children of the king. And the world is looking on at us to see how we will behave. And they will point the finger at us, won't they? We know, we see it all the time. It's interesting that to become a royal, most people are born into it. You can't just walk up off the street and say, I'm going to be a king or a queen. They are born into it, or sometimes married into it. And likewise, we are born into the kingdom of God. When Nicodemus came to talk to Jesus one night in the dark, Jesus said, to enter the kingdom, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. You can't just romp into the kingdom. God has to bring you into the kingdom by a new birth. We can call it being born again. We can call it a whole lot of things. But he says, there's a way of coming into the kingdom. It's about being born of the Spirit of God. Because whoever your father or mother is, you are going to be like them. Have you ever noticed that you open your mouth sometimes and out comes your mother or your father? I swear, my mother died about 5 years ago, and some days I don't think she actually went to glory. I think she came into this body because, I'll tell you, some days I open my mouth and it's like, Mum, will you go away? You know, or I will do things that are exactly like what she did. I have become like my mother, and there is no escaping that, is there? You just can't. You've got the same genes, the same DNA. We become like our parents. Now, as we mature, there are some things we want to keep, and there are some things maybe we don't want to keep that came from our parents. So we learn to do that, and we learn to keep the good things and maybe walk away from the other things that weren't so good. So God is wanting us, as his children, to take on his DNA. That's why he says you can't just say you're a child of God. You have to be born into this family so that you take on my DNA. You start to become like me. And as we mature, the longer we walk with God, the more time we spend with him, the more we become like him. And you know, when Jesus said to the people that were around, particularly his disciples, he said, if you see me, you have seen my Father. If you've seen me, you've seen my Father. Why? Jesus was the image of the Father God, wasn't he? He spoke like him, he thought like him, he acted like him. Jesus was God, the Father come to earth. Now we, in our thinking, we tend to think about Jesus and just his earthly ministry, which is really important. But when you think about it, he was with the Father for thousands of years prior to coming to earth. Thousands of years. They did everything together. He was of his Father. That's why when he was born of Mary, he also had to be born of the Father, of the Spirit of God, just as we have to be born of the Spirit of God. The Spirit that comes to indwell us, to make us like the Father. When my mum and dad, over the course of their lives, they became very ill, and they spent a lot of time in both hospital, nursing homes or rehab, and there wasn't a day that they were in hospital or rehab that I was not by their side. Oh, I just love spending time with them, nurturing them, caring for them, loving them. And people used to say, "Well, you look like your mother." They called us peas in a pod, you know that expression. And my daughter is the same. You look at us and they say, "We're peas in a pod." Now, I loved being with mum. Was it hard work? Of course it was hard work. But you do that because you love them, don't you? You want to spend time with the people that you love. So I loved to be with my mum. And I learned so much more. My sister, unfortunately, was not in that position. She didn't have as much time with mum. So I knew things about mum that she would never have known because of the time we spent together. What a precious time that was. And so here we've got John, who has spent so much time with Jesus and the Father that he can share with us so many things that maybe others could not share. That's why I love reading John. Now, he goes on to talk about, first of all, he's assured them of who they are, that they're children of God, which is an amazing thing. Then he says, now, not everybody is a child of God. Some people are children of the devil, okay? He says, then he goes on to tell them how to behave as children of God. In the beginning of, we started at chapter 3, but in the beginning of the letter, he talks about them sinning. He recognises that they're going to sin. They're going to break rules, okay, and sin against God. He said, now if you do, you'll have an advocate with the Father. You can always go to the Father and ask for forgiveness. So he recognises, first of all, that yes, you're going to sin. That's a given. And we're told that if we say we have no sin, we're liars. So we know we all sin from time to time. But then in verse 9, he says, this is strange because it's a bit confusing. He says, whoever is born of God will not sin and cannot sin. Well, hang on a minute. You've just told us back in the beginning we're going to sin so we can be forgiven. Then over here you're going to tell us we will not sin and we cannot sin. Well, that's a bit confusing. Okay, we need to sort that one out. Now, the unfortunate thing is that in the Greek they have what they call the present continuous tense. And we need to keep this in mind when we're reading scripture because it means when he says whoever is born of God, the present continuous tense means will not go on sinning. Cannot go on sinning. Doesn't mean an occasional sin. It means that that is no longer your lifestyle. You don't want to sin. We remember when Paul said, listen, I've got these problems, got these issues, I'm in this battle. I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do. You see, that's the true believer's heart. We don't want to sin. Sin doesn't have a hold on us anymore, but we do sin, but in our hearts we don't want to. Whereas those who are not children of God, it doesn't matter to them whether they sin or they don't sin. But we as children of God don't want to sin. Our heart is, God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to hurt you. I know the price that Jesus paid. I don't want to sin against that. But I find occasionally I do. And so the gracious, precious thing of God that he gave us a way to say, when you do sin, just come back to me. Just keep a short account. Just come back to me and say, Dad, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Would you forgive me? Will you have mercy on me? And God says, oh, sure, sweetheart. Sure, I'll forgive you. And it's about the heart attitude, isn't it? It's what we want to do. We don't want sin to be the main factor in our lives anymore. Then he goes on to talk about the rest of the family. And he says, you are brothers and sisters. So care for each other. Love each other. Do all that you can for each other. And he gave them some very specific and real things that they could do. Now, at the time, they all met together because of the persecution that was happening. They were a very close community. They were being ostracised. They were being persecuted and killed. So they would get together and support each other. They knew each other intimately. They had meals together. They knew what each other's needs were. So he said, look after your brothers and sisters. Look after their needs. And we don't have that today. We live in a fairly independent society, and we don't have to live together and support each other the way they did back then. But only last month we had Are You Okay Day, remember? Do we ever ask our brothers and sisters, are you okay? How do we know what our brothers and sisters' needs are if we're not spending time with them? You know, we get together on a Sunday morning and we're here and it's lovely and everyone's happy and we cheer, you know, praise God. But then what happens the rest of the week? Do we ring each other? Do we maybe go out for coffee? Do we have a chat? Do we talk to each other? Do we share our burdens with each other? How do I know to supply your needs if I don't know what your needs are? You know, when I was diagnosed with this cancer, everybody around me disappeared. I was in the mountains, I was in a church, I'd been serving the church up there, and everyone disappeared. I had to face this diagnosis alone. My children couldn't come up because of COVID, but everyone who was there who should have been my brothers and sisters just disappeared. I don't know why, I don't get it. But I spent months and months on my own. There was just me and God. And I felt like Jesus when he was on the cross, when everybody who said they loved him had disappeared. There was one lady who lived on my street from the church, and she would occasionally come and visit or give me a call. I was dying. I was dying. And yet, where were my brothers and sisters? Maybe it was my fault. Did I not put up my hand to say, hey, I need you? I don't know. I don't know. But my next door neighbour, who was not a Christian, he came with meals. He came and supported me. And Leslie, you let me know. He put my bin in and out. I was so bad, I could not walk to the letterbox unaided. The palliative care team came around and said, Leslie, where do you want your palliative care? In your last weeks, your last days, where do you want to be cared for? And yet I was alone, just me and God. And I tell you what, you go through things like that, you get to know God. You get to trust him and lean on him for absolutely everything in your life. When I moved down here, I wasn't sure. I sort of threw my hands up and I said, God, what is going on? You know, we've overcome the cancer. You have miraculously saved me and kept me for another day. What is going on? And I had a real bout of depression. And Eric will vouch for this because I was on the phone to Eric and saying, I am really feeling it. I am in the depths. I do not know what is going on. You would have thought that after I got that clearance that I would be overjoyed. But it wasn't. I don't know what happened to me, but I was having a tough time.
And I was tempted to go and get some antidepressants, but then after talking to Eric and praying about it, I thought, you know what? Jesus said, I came to give them life, and life abundantly. I came to give them joy. I came to give them all good things, peace and joy and goodness in the Holy Ghost. And I thought, no, I'm going to God for that. I'm going to pray, Holy Spirit, fill me with the joy that I need. Fill me with the life that is yours, a life that is overflowing and abundant. You know, I want people to look at me and say, wow, what a life she has. I want the life that she's got. I've seen a lot of Christians walking around, you know, and their chins are just about on the ground. They're so depressed and they're so, you know, looking gloomy. We've got everything in the world to cheer about. We've got everything in the world to be, you know, just on fire for because of the God who loves us. That's what I want. And I remember, you know, Jesus said, you parents who are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. So if you ask for the Holy Spirit, will my Father give you anything else? He loves to pour out his Spirit into your life. And the disciples, after they had been filled with the Spirit, they already knew the Holy Spirit. There was a time when they got together and they prayed, oh, Father, send your Holy Spirit that we may be filled with boldness. So they asked him again to be filled with boldness. Now, we talked at Grey Matters about how we aren't too bold these days, particularly in sharing the gospel with other people. So my prayer is, Holy Spirit, fill me with boldness. Fill me with everything from the Father. The Holy Spirit was sent as a gift from the Father. Oh, I just want the Holy Spirit to envelop me, to fill my whole life with the joy and the gifts that come from the Father. Why do I want that? So I can be like the Father. So that I can be changed into the image of the Father, so that I can serve in the kingdom as I have been called to do, so that I can be that daughter of the King. When God commands us to love one another, he's talking about agape or agape love. That's not a love of feelings. It's a love of doing. So when we look at how God loved the world, it's a doing love. He actually did. He sent his Son. That was a doing, wasn't it? So when he says love, he's not saying feel love. He's telling us to do love. To do love towards him, to do love towards each other. Okay, let's pray. Father, we have seen in your word how much your disciples relied on the Holy Spirit. They loved you, Father. They acknowledged Jesus, but you sent the Holy Spirit to enable and equip them with power to do everything that you had called them to. We acknowledge that, Father, that we above all need the Holy Spirit today. So, Father, would you send the Holy Spirit into our midst to do, to teach, to do all that he is sent to do, but to enable us to love you and to love each other. And we ask this in the precious name of your Son. Amen.
Microphone up a little bit. Four birthdays this month. Bev Bennett had a birthday on the 6th, Murray Holmes on the 7th, Paul Hummerston on the 15th, Gay Wiley on the 30th. So we thank God as part of the family. We rejoice with those who rejoice and celebrate with those who are celebrating anniversaries of God's gift of life and love. And so we ask God to bless them. Father God, we thank you as our Father. We thank you for being part of your family. And we thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for their times of celebration and joy as they remember your goodness to them. And we pray that you might continue to bless them as they have been a blessing to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Bible studies are back on deck this week. We resume because school's back, so we'll be back. So Grand Matters on Wednesday, Bible studies on Tuesday. Haven't sort of looked at what we're doing yet, but we'll get there.
And you let us know?
I will let you know. We've been greatly encouraged to look at God's Word and become like Him, so we'll keep doing that as we have been doing. And we'll let you know what it's going to be. So Bible studies this week. I don't have any other announcements. Do any of you have any other announcements? No. In which case, yes, one more. New rosters are on the table at the back in the foyer, where we're going to celebrate morning tea together in a short moment after you've stood with me and we received God's blessing. So let's stand as we conclude our service together. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.
Hum your own music to walk out to.